All right, so on this episode of the Christmas special, we are joined by we. I keep saying we in all these, but it's just me, or just Jacob. So I am joined by the one and only Mandalorian Orange, or Zach. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm fantastic. I'm having a great time. And we've had you on before. I remember hearing your story about how you got the name Mandalorian Orange, if I remember correctly, right?
Yeah, I guessed it on an episode early. I don't know. Time is weird. I don't know when that was.
Yeah.
earlier in the year.
Are you talking about Web Warriors then, too?
I'll be honest. I don't remember. I don't remember what the topic was that episode.
I'm sure Web Warriors came up, but I mean, if you guys haven't guessed, this Christmas special episode with Mandalorian Orange will be talking about Web Warriors. So let's just jump right into it. What are you bringing for characters with your Web Warriors?
All right. So for characters, I've got, let's see, 6 affiliated models, actually. I've got Miles, I've got Amazing Spider-Man, I've got Venom, I have Gwen, I have Black Cat, and I have Moon Knight. And then for my unaffiliated picks, I've got Medusa, Enchantress, Toad, and Sam Wilson.
So there's always some interesting things here, and I guess my first question comes to ASM and regular Peter Parker.
Yeah.
With the update to the rules with allowing both of them, is it a consideration for people to want to bring both of them, or is it pretty much you're bringing ASM and Peter just stays on the shelf?
I don't think people are crazy for bringing Core Peter. He doesn't really do what I want. For that kind of control, I honestly just prefer Venom and Gwen. He's kind of superfluous and doesn't bring enough for a four threat for me. If I'm being honest, I barely even want Amazing Spider-Man in here. Just the other day, I was about to cut him for Gem Loki, or for Space Gem Loki specifically. The only reason he's still in my list is because his leadership is literally the only thing this list has that can move Juggernaut. And there are a couple situations that I haven't played yet, but if I know I'm gonna be playing against Juggernaut on like Gamma or on one of those herb shenanigans plays, and I really need something that can move him because I don't have the firepower to kill him, then I would play him as leader.
Okay. I can understand that. That makes a lot of sense, actually. I think that's something that a lot of people have been looking for is when do they play ASM's leadership versus Miles? And I know you're good friends with Kirkhope, aren't you?
Yes. Yeah.
I'm sure you guys have worked extensively on this, I'm sure.
Yeah, he's done more work on it, on developing it than I have. He put out a video pretty recently on his channel that I'd recommend people watch, that talks about a lot of this stuff. We play them slightly differently, but we've talked about them a lot, and there's some convergent evolution and some like working off each other's stuff.
Awesome. It's always good to have like those friends that you can like bounce ideas off of. Like I play pretty, I don't know, I wouldn't say religiously, but pretty frequently with Sploosh and a couple other people that we're always bouncing ideas off of, and Roskers, and like I've recently started working with Utility Cookie on some stuff, so that's been exciting.
This
is great.
Off people.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so some other interesting ones. Miles, of course, is easy. Gwen is a staple, in my opinion, when I look at Web Warriors. Yeah. Now Moon Knight just recently came out, and he is in here, and I love Moon Knight. I really do. I was running him in X-Force for a while.
Okay.
How is he helping out the affiliation, do you think?
I've got a like-hate relationship with Moon Knight. I've been sort of warming up to him a lot more recently. The primary reason he's in my list is to go 6 wide at 17. I either need 2-2 threats or I need Moon Knight. And Moon Knight does, in addition to enabling that, he does a few things Because the biggest knock against him is that, at least in the early game, he doesn't do the thing that what I think of as sort of a traditional Spider's list does. He doesn't move people. He doesn't really move himself particularly well. He doesn't have any extract tricks. But what he does have that I found really helpful for them is good power generation. Plurality of the time, I think, what is it, like 3 out of 8 times, he'll just get an extra power at the start of the round, and that can be very helpful on flip secures, particularly when you end up somewhere that I found really helpful is on an F extract, which, spoilers, I've got 2 of, and Mutant Madman. He can be really good for having 2 power to interact with both things. But because he makes power so well between his multiple personalities and his rapid fire builder, he's a really good model to use advanced R&D to pass power off of, especially with the way that card works now. And also later in the game, because he makes power so well, he has his spender pretty accessible, which does move people to play sort of into the more traditional game plan. But he is definitely the affiliated, well, I'd say he's the affiliated character that I use the least, but that might actually be Amazing Spider-Man.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, yeah, you stated why earlier, but
yeah.
I think your reason for why you're bringing ASM is actually really interesting, because I hadn't quite thought of that. So I see ASM as a great character, because I ran him out of affiliation, and he helped me out a bunch because he brings the extract play that I didn't have, where you already have an extract play. He's just like you said, he's I can't talk. Oh my goodness, hello words. I'm gonna go ahead and just, everybody knows what I'm trying to say and go with that.
Yeah. And I do value that center grab thing, which was why I would otherwise be replacing the Space Jam Loki. Because yeah, I do like that specific extract play. Just Amazing Spider-Man in particular just doesn't do a lot of other stuff that I want him to do in Web Warriors. I like him a lot more in other affiliations than I do here.
That's fair. I do think that the Space Loki is interesting. And then it comes down to the question of, is Space Loki helping me out with Juggernaut or even CS in general?
Exactly. And that's why it's Amazing Spider-Man instead of him.
Yeah. Okay, so my next one is Black Cat, because she's also fairly new. I think everybody just knows Black Cat's just a great model in addition to the game, and everybody wishes that her steel objective was an action. But for the time being, she is just stellar and annoying on the playfield.
Oh, yeah, she rules. She's definitely not someone I bring in every game, but she is an all-star when she hits the table. Especially on Legacy Virus. Oh my god, that team is stupid.
She just wins games.
Yeah.
That's what she does. Like, somebody asks what his Black Cat does, she wins you games.
Mm-hmm. You bait her into getting days so that she has all kinds of power, and then she wins games.
Yeah, this is how it happens. All right. So that covers that. Okay, so let's talk about some of the unaffiliated ones. Oh, we have Venom in there too, but Venom's to me kind of an obvious pick.
Yeah, you don't need to explain Venom. He rules, he's one of the best players in the game.
Let's go into Medusa. You got Medusa and Enchantress in here, which a lot of people kind of fell off the wagon of Medusa and Enchantress with the nerfs.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's some people, I'm sure you're one of these, that think Medusa is still just fine and Enchantress is still just fine, seeing as you have them in here.
Yeah.
So why don't you go into why you're bringing them?
Sure. So I think the nerfs took these models from being like completely overpowered to very, very strong, but more fair. I think honestly the biggest nerf to Enchantress was losing all you've got, but that wasn't really what Web Warriors were using her for anyway. I use Medusa in this team more often than Enchantress, because Medusa can move more models in a turn, because Medusa can still easily move 3 models in a round or in a turn just with 2 attacks, not hitting any flurries, and then throwing someone. And usually there aren't 3 models that need to get moved, so that's overkill. But she is still amazing at displacements. Royal Decree is incredibly helpful, especially for Venom. But for moving anyone of my people that's like holding an extract to get them a little bit out to safety or to bring someone into position. Even just like adjusting someone's positioning so that Gwen has a better lifesaver on them, or adjusting Gwen's position for that. Royal Decree is a fantastic ability. She's also really durable with a Miles reroll. She's got 6 health, 3s across the board with 2 rerolls, and enemies can't modify attack dice into her. So yeah, she's fairly hard to take down, which plays into a lot of their stuff as well. And she can do all of her stuff from relative safety at range 3 from a lot of things. So I think she is still just a complete all-star for what Web Warriors specifically want to do. And in fact, honestly, her push being moved to a wild instead of damage is, I think, a buff for her in Web Warriors, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of time where I don't want to do damage because I don't want to hand out power. So I'm perfectly happy just making an attack, doing no damage, and pushing someone.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
All right, so then we have Hoad.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't mention Enchantress, really.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
she still has Bow, which is great on like Gamma or Researcher, and she still does steal objectives, even if it's an action, which is a key part of the Legacy Virus strategy. She's still mostly doing the same thing she was always doing, just like slightly less effectively.
Yeah, which it's good. It's good for the game.
Yeah.
So the next, I'll call out Toad. To me, I'll just say I think Toad's kind of obvious here. He's just an extract 2 threat.
Yep.
Like, he's great at what he does, and there's pretty much nothing else to it besides grabbing and running.
Yeah, it's like 90% grabbing and running, but he is, I think, the only 2 threat that can displace enemy models. It's not great, but sometimes it's something to have, and the auto incinerate can sometimes be useful on a spender. But yeah, it's mostly grabbing objectives and running and putting together Exodia with Finders Keepers for Legacy.
Gotta love the heart of the
cards. Gotta trust the heart of the cards, man.
All right. So the last one, I said this one for last just because to me it's the most peculiar one. And why Sam Wilson?
So I've got to give credit to, as you mentioned before, Vince Kirkov. This was his idea that I took from him. Sam Wilson, I think until recently, kind of has been being slept on out of affiliation.
Mm-hmm.
People have really only been playing him as leader in Avengers, and they shouldn't, or I mean, they should still be doing that, but they should be taking him more places because he's in a lot of ways, he's mini Medusa. Like, he is another model that very much can just move 4 enemy models in a round and can move a friendly model as well. And he's really fast. He's got flight, he's got a long move, he's got charge, he's got airlift, which I don't use often, but it's a cool thing to have. He also makes power not as quickly as Moon Knight, but very reliably. You can count on, like, you know exactly how much power he's going to make, or you know at least how much power he's going to make, and sometimes he'll get more with ricochets, which makes him another useful kind of, and he doesn't really need to spend that much of it. Like, it's nice to have charge online, but he doesn't need to all the time, and it's nice to have Vibranium Shield online, but if he's not holding an extract, then often it doesn't really matter that much if he gets beat up. So when he's making all that power, it's useful for spending on tactics cards, and I'm especially usually looking for batteries for advanced R&D.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of it. He does the things that Web Warriors want to do.
Yeah, I can totally accept that one.
Yeah.
Plus, he's just great model on top of that. I love the models in this game. They're so well done most of the time.
I just got his model for Christmas. I've got it put together, and he's next up on my painting table. I'm hoping to get started on it tomorrow.
I'm terrible, and I still have yet to set up my painting desk since I've moved, so I'm slacking majorly. I have had all this time to paint, and I'm so far behind still.
Moving is stressful. It's just everything getting, especially like, once you're done, that's one of those things where you just want to like lay on a couch and not do anything.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. My office has its computer set up, and that's about it. Everything else is still in boxes.
Oh yeah, no, I totally hear you.
All right. So moving on, let's go ahead and jump into the secures, because I think the secures are more interesting to talk about than the extracts for Web Warriors. So let's talk about what you're bringing here.
Sure. I think if anyone is running a mono affiliation Web Warriors list and they're playing the classic scenario control style, I don't actually think there's any decisions to be made on your secures. I think you should be running these three secures. And those three secures are Cosmic Invasion, Black Order Descends on Earth, Riot Spark over Extremis 3.0, and Superpowered Scoundrels form Sinister Syndicate.
So quick question on your statement. Let's say I'm someone brand new to the game and I hear that statement, like, and I don't understand why. Like, why is it that these three are pretty much the only ones that should be considered?
Yeah, of course. So the first two are the classic D secures. Web Warriors have always excelled on those. They're fast, so they're very they are very much able to move between the secures without too much of a penalty. They often don't really mind not making attacks. Like I mentioned before, you're fairly happy not giving out power, so if you do just want to like double move and refuse a flank and get on to another point, you're usually not too upset about it. You end up with one-on-one fights fairly often, or maybe two-on-one, which Web Warriors really like because they're usually a slightly above average in durability. Between Miles with his rerolls, Venom with his whole being Venom, his high health pool and his counterattack, which often just discourages people from attacking him. You've got Lifesaver, you've got rerolls. So when there's only one person attacking you and they can't really focus down, you can be a lot safer. And then they also individually, beyond their shape, give special effects that they like. Cosmic Invasion has the chance of handing out extra power, which Web Warriors are often pretty power-starved, and they also don't really mind getting pushed away. In fact, they're usually happy to be pushed away, because that'll push them out of threat, maybe, of someone else who's contesting that secure, and so many of them can just use that power they get to get themselves back on without using an action. Mm-hmm. And Extremis gives healing, which when you have that above average defense, but sort of average health pools, which they mostly have, having access to healing is extra valuable because it's harder to put those points of damage on. So being able to recover them is even better. This one costs power, which isn't always great, but if they've taken damage, then they have some power to heal the damage, and it can just make them kind of frustrating to deal with.
Okay. I can completely understand that one. So let's go ahead, and I don't have any questions about any of these ones. I think they're all pretty straightforward, and you kind of just went into all the description we could ever ask for with it.
Sure.
So let's go ahead and hop over to your extracts. What are you looking at extracts?
Did you want to talk about scoundrels at all?
Oh, I completely spaced on it because you went super in-depth on it. I'm sure you know, like, I'm scared of playing Scoundrels because Syndicate is scary on Scoundrels.
Yes.
So what is, like, does Web Warriors have a leg up on Syndicate on Scoundrels?
It's hard to say. I think that's probably about an even match. It's been a while since I've played Web Warriors into Syndicate, but in the past, I've found that Web Warriors are kind of good into them because of all of our displacement. Because it's like, yeah, cool, you count double when you're standing on a point, but what if I just make you not stand on a point? I think Syndicate are very scary in the current meta, though, and even as Web Warriors, I'm still scared of them, especially with Juggernaut. I think that is like my nightmare team to face. But if Syndicate might be the best at Scoundrels, but if they are, I think Web Warriors are the second best. There's a lot of secure points on the board, which Web Warriors love controlling secures. They're happy to do that. We have displacement effects. We can use our displacement effects to affect other points while still standing on our own point. And the cover is amazing and just makes us never die, especially under Miles' leadership, because you can't even skull out and not have cover. It's if you're playing Miles leadership, you're standing on the point so you can turn that skull into a block.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting.
It was really good for Web Warriors. I think it's awesome. I think it's cool that you're taking it.
Yeah. I've admittedly only played it with Web Warriors once, but I've thought about it a lot more. In that one game I played it, I was playing Thanos. Yeah. And he was just unkillable.
I can see that. All right, then. So yeah, let's go ahead and run over to extracts real quick. So what are you getting here?
Sure. So I've got the two F extracts, Spider Infected and Struggle for the Cube. And then I've got Legacy Virus, which I've brought up a few times already.
Mm-hmm.
Spider Infected has kind of, from day one, been a good one for Web Warriors. They're fast. They have a lot of extract shenanigans. They can grab the middle with safety if they've got priority, either with Amazing Spider-Man grabbing and running completely away, or with Toad grabbing it from just a little bit farther back and then threatening Slippery. And against some teams, even Miles just going up there and grabbing it and being like, hey, I've got stealth and I've got a million rerolls. Like, come at me. Yeah. And as I mentioned when talking about Cosmic Invasion, we've got a lot of movement superpowers, so often don't mind too much being moved out of position by the spiders. And it's also one of those ones where if they've got a really heavy hitter, Spider Infected is kind of dangerous for them, because like, you don't want to pick up a spider with Magneto, for example, or with She-Hulk. So yes, while it can be dangerous to get my models moved closer to them, it also kind of limits the number of their models that can, like, quote unquote, safely pick up an extract, and gives me even just that foreknowledge kind of where their extracts are going to be can be really helpful.
Enough.
Yeah.
All right, so cubes, I'm a little curious about, because in my thought, I look at cubes and webbers, and I'm like, I really don't want to be taking that damage. So is that an issue with spiders, or is the benefit worth the risk, and you can simply run away with the game because of your extract?
It's a double-edged sword. Cubes is probably... So cubes with priority is the one place other than... like a juggernaut thing that I'm worried about, where I'm very likely to play ASM, but I still probably wouldn't play his leadership. He is a web warrior that has enough health and is tough enough that I'm kind of okay with the damage. But in general, it's a double-edged sword. Cause like, yeah, the damage sucks, but it also, the power is really nice. I just have to be more careful about who I pick them up with. So like, I'm fine picking one up with Venom. I'm fine picking them up with ASM. And then I'll usually pick them up with my unaffiliated characters after that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no way I'm putting a cube on Miles if I can, or at least early in the game. No way I'm putting one on Gwen. But it's definitely the extract that I'm the least happy with. There's just not another one that I really like more. I think AMG is kind of bad at making extracts. There's only
I think that is the extract stuff we need some work still.
Yeah. But my third extract is one of the ones that I consider to be a badly made extract, but spiders abuse it probably better than anyone else. So might as well abuse it.
Yeah, might as well.
Yeah, I can't believe they didn't at least restrict this in the last pass.
Well, It's just funny because like you go through the issues with Panic, mm-hmm. and then you release another one that's auto win essentially. Yeah.
No, I would have just banned this, but I'm surprised they didn't restrict it.
Yeah, I think with their whole model of the process of restriction is it probably has to live at least one more cycle before it gets looked at as restricting. Yeah. So
it's something to keep an eye on.
That's my guess. And then it's like. I think it's also if you look at like the common metas and nobody's really at the point of completely abusing it. Like, yeah, there's teams that can.
Yeah.
But it's not one of those cards that every single team can. I mean, every single team can abuse it if they take a certain character. But a certain slew of characters. But it comes into not everyone is actually doing it. Right. And I think that's why it's not restricted.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, but I think it's something to that I'd be kind of surprised if it doesn't make its way to the restricted list sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I can be behind that thought. I agree with that completely.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll see. Time will tell. Maybe that'll be a Christmas gift from AMG. All right. So let's go ahead and roll into team tactics. And what are you bringing here for all of them?
Sure. So I've got for affiliated cards, I'm bringing All Webbed Up and Spider Tracker.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to list them out now or kind of talk about them as we go?
Let's talk about those two right now. Because I think everybody knows All Webbed Up. It's good. It does work. There's already not much to talk about that. But Spider Tracker, I think, is more recently becoming huge just because, one, it's a newer card, and two, I think it was misunderstood when it first came out. Because I don't remember people talking about it when it was first spoiled. I think it was like one of those, oh, okay, that's cool, whatever. But the more and more it sees play, I think people are realizing how good that card actually is.
Oh,
so let's go ahead and break that one down.
I'm completely opposite on that. I was way hotter on this card when it first came out than now.
Yeah.
And that's because I misread it when it first came out. Mm-hmm. When it first came out, I missed the crucial bit that it had to be a move action and not just a move. And I missed that. And I found out how it actually worked in the middle of a game against Black Order when Corvus mothershipped into my face. I was like, cool, Spider Tracker, later, nerd. And it's like, no, it's gotta be a move action. Oh no. So that's not a card that I play super often. I play it fairly often against Brotherhood, because Magneto will kind of often like move, attack, throw stuff. I can use that to either escape ranges or move behind like another model to protect myself from throws. A-Force is another one where it's kind of useful because She-Hulk, after she's special deliveried, doesn't have another way really of moving herself around.
Yeah.
But it's definitely in my like B or C tier of cards in my list. Like, it's good, and like the effect it has is really good. It's just not an effect that you can count on getting the maximum value out of all the time.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. I can say that. I think the most places I've seen it most effectively used is like, I want to say late game, when you're trying to run away with somebody like Black Cat and somebody just has to chase her down.
Yeah, totally.
And it's just like, well, okay, I'm just going to a little bit extra movement because you're coming closer. Or in my last game of the Holiday Bash, my opponent ended up using it on me and I completely spaced on it. And I was like, this stupid card.
Yeah, it's one of those things that like, if you forget about it, can be completely devastating.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's a fun one. What else are we taking here? What else we got going on?
All right, so that's it for affiliated. For character specific, I just have Lethal Protector. Everyone knows about that. I probably don't play it as often as a lot of other people. It's just like the power expenditure on Venom, even though it's only two power is also a web snare.
Yeah.
So
I have thoughts on Lethal Protector these days, just because like, I love Lethal Protector. I think it's an amazing card. I do think just in the world of tactics cards that we live in now, it's more reasonable to not play in a game. Yeah. Like, unless you have an exact plan going for an exact matchup, it's probably not necessary to play it anymore as it used to be, because you have so many other cards that you're like, I have to take these for my game plan to work.
Totally. Yeah, so then for my restricted cards, I got Brace and Medpack. Taking both of those almost every game. They keep my people alive, and being alive is all I want to do. And I don't have the power economy to play field dressing effectively, and I want to be too spread out to play field dressing. So it's Medpack and it's Brace.
Yeah.
Not a lot to say about those. Then for the probably my other most played card after the two restricted and All Webbed Up is Advanced R&D. Mm-hmm. The nerf to it makes it a little bit more annoying. It's one that I'm not as happy to play all the time as I used to be, but it's still really good. Even I'm not using it round one as often as I used to, though. It's more often a round two card. But just making sure that I have my web lines, my web snares, my lifesavers, my web swings, like having those online when I need to can make a huge difference in a game. Because
yeah.
the difference between how effective a web warrior is with one power versus with two power is night and day. So like I still feel like they kind of need advanced R&D in the roster, even if they don't need it every game. Yeah. And I'm not playing it every game, but I am probably playing it in most of my games.
That's fair. I can accept this. I think advanced R&D got the change that it needed for the game for health reasons.
Oh, totally.
I don't think it's to the point to where the cards is not takeable anymore. Like you said, it's still very useful. It's just more of an annoyance to play, and you're not pulling off super jank round one plays.
Yeah, it gets rid of a lot of the degenerate stuff. Still opens up, kind of like kickstarts how early you can do your strong stuff,
mm-hmm.
while avoiding most of the really degenerate stuff.
Well, here's a question for you.
Yeah.
Would you have rather gotten the change that it got, or be just put on the restricted list as how it was?
I prefer the change it got. I think it's more interesting for the game. I think I've got complicated thoughts about the restricted list, because I feel like for most teams, there's not really a whole lot of decision making in what restricted cards you take.
Mm-hmm.
If you're trying to be optimal, at least, and a lot of especially like look at Patchup. Patchup is a card that's on the restricted list because it kind of has to be, but also it's effectively banned except in like A-Force or like a team playing Hulk. So I think advanced R&D would probably be closer to that than it would to a med pack if it was on the restricted mm-hmm. list. So I'm glad it got changed. I've always been a big proponent of fix the things that are broken or fix the things that are bent rather than just getting rid of them. Like the things that are truly broken, like drop off or all you've got, like, yeah, get rid of those. But if something's not working quite the way it's intended to, fix it. And I'm really glad that AMG did.
Yep. All right. I can accept that. I completely agree.
Yeah.
All right. So what do we have after that?
So we've got Disarm. Again, just solid defensive card. It keeps my people alive. It's cheap, which is really good. It's got fairly lenient positioning requirements. Like two models within range three of an enemy is a lot of space. So it's just useful. It's another of those cards that's kind of universally useful for everyone.
Yeah.
Then I've got Mission Objective, which when I'm going for the really heavy extract control, which Web Warriors are really good at, is really good. It's especially in Legacy Virus, because like at 19 threat, I can play Miles, Gwen, Venom, Black Cat, Enchantress, Toad. And I've got three models that steal extracts from enemies. I've got Toad, who can shuffle them around on my team and grab from safety. I've got two models that can reel in people towards my guys for me to take. And Mission Objective just makes that mini game of Legacy Virus so much easier.
Most Objective is it for Legacy Virus more than anything, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's also good if I'm on, like, if I find myself on Senators, which nobody plays Senators, but a single extract where I know that someone's guaranteed to find it, oh, cool, I can take that and hang on to it better than most people. So Mission Objective is there. It's those, I don't, and then beyond that, like, if I have sort of a fifth, I'll often find myself with a fifth slot that, like, kind of could be anything. And if I'm playing against something that, like, if I find myself on a low-scoring secure, like Demons or Intrusions, against a heavy attrition team, then I might put Mission Objective into that slot because I know more of my points are going to have to come from the extracts.
Mm-hmm.
That helps me hold on to those points.
Okay. Fair enough. And then your last card we got over there.
So I've got two cards left. I've got Mind Obsession, which is mostly mostly useful for me, I think, as a defensive card, especially on a D where I have those one-on-one fights. It helps that character be a lot more survivable, but also, I mean, offensively, it's great. Like, Web Warriors, despite playing a lot of games where they don't make a ton of attacks, they will usually still daze at least one character, usually a couple. And Blind Obsession is really good for, like, if I need to finish someone off, I'll play it on them after they've dazed, so I can hopefully just KO them, get them out of there without suffering the negatives. It's just kind of a good card. It's not one that I play super often with them. This team isn't one that I feel like I really need all 10 of my card slots for, so I've got a lot that can kind of flex. And then my last one is going to be the one that everyone else has mentioned. It's Indomitable. I actually think Web Warriors are one of the teams that needs to play it least often, just because they're typically the ones doing the moving more often than being moved.
Well, yeah, it's a card meant to anti Web Warriors.
Yeah, as a Web Warriors player, I'm super sad about seeing it on the other side, but it's just such a generically good card that, like, I'd be stupid to not put it in my 10.
Yeah.
And that's a card that, like, I would bet any amount of money is going to be on the restricted list in the next date.
And, like, I think if people haven't heard it enough by this point, I think they're going to believe it themselves, and it will be the reason why there are so many Colossus in Magic sales.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I've already just got it printed out and in a sleeve.
Fair enough. I can accept that.
Like, I think it'll be restricted and not banned, because, like, I don't think it's strong enough to be banned. It's just going to be ubiquitous enough that it's got to be restricted.
Yeah. So I think that's the issue, and I talked about this on the episode. Oh, I think it was the last one with Guardians. I think it was that one where I mentioned the fact that it comes down to the fact that so many people are going to be taking it, and that's not what AMD wants to see, because that was their reasoning for Brace, for Brace getting restricted, was the fact that it's so many people are taking it that they don't want every list to look the same. Like, people totally have their own variety.
Totally.
And Indomitable is one of those cards that, like you said, like, you're kind of a fool if you're not taking it, because, like I said before, like, that card is just victory points on a card.
Yeah. It says spend two power and don't lose a victory point, or don't have a 2-point swing when they're going to take a point from you.
Exactly. It's such a great card, though. I love it. I'm so glad they brought it, because I like that card more than Brace, personally.
Yeah. In a lot of situations, it kind of can be Brace. Like, if you're worried about being thrown at someone, then it's Brace. But it's like Brace plus in a lot of ways, and obviously worse than Brace if stuff's being thrown at you, but por qué no las dos?
Okay.
Yeah, it's a great card.
All right. All right, so that kind of wraps up the roster. I like it. I like it a lot. I haven't played Web Warriors probably since they first came out. I toyed about them a little bit, and then ASM came out. I toyed with them a little bit, but I like this roster a lot. So this one's been fun.
Yeah. It's
so let's go ahead and jump into the holiday questions. And number one, we have: what is the gift AMG gave to Web Warriors this year that you were the most happy with?
So I think the cheeky answer is I'm actually kind of happy that they didn't give us anything in the errata. I'm really happy that none of our characters changed, because we were already really, really strong, and with a lot of other stuff kind of being brought down into line, that kind of just made us better in a lot of ways. But if I had to pick, like, a thing that released, I would say Superpowered Scoundrels. That secure is really good for them. And I think
that's fair.
Yeah, it plays into their game plan so well.
I can buy that.
Yeah.
All right. So next is, what is on your affiliation Christmas list for the future?
Okay. So have you ever read the Spider-Verse comics? Like, that event? You said yes?
I'm not that one specifically. I'm talking about just in general. But,
okay.
not specifically the Spider-Verse ones, no.
So in the first Spider-Verse event from, I don't know, like the I don't know what time when it was, but the first of like the modern Spider-Verse events, the actual leader of the Web Warriors, of like the group of interdimensional Spider-Men, is Spider-UK. He's in his world, he's Captain Britain and Spider-Man, Billy Braddock, and I don't know why, but over the course of that comic series, I got so attached to this character. I love him just as a character. And I know it is like the longest of long shots, but I would love it for them to bring him into the game. I think it'd be super cool. And I think they've got just like such a deep bench because of the all the multiverse stuff of characters that could be in, from like more serious ones like him and Spider-Man 2099 to the more jokey ones.
2099
would be sick. For like a jokey one, I would love Spider's Man. When Peter Parker fell into a vat of radioactive spiders who devoured him and now are a hive mind that think they're Peter Parker.
I have not heard of that one.
Oh, it's the goofiest thing. It's so weird.
I thought you were going to mention the Spider-Ham, whatever he is.
Yeah, I could take or leave Spider-Ham. He's fine. Yeah, if I'm getting a joke one, I'd rather Spider's Man or Spider-Mam, who's Aunt May as Spider Spider powers.
That's fair.
Yeah, there's a lot of fun stuff. Another thing on my Christmas list is getting Miss Marvel added to the affiliation list. They added Daredevil like after he was released in a later update, and she has the exact same qualifications for being in the affiliation that Daredevil has. Like, Daredevil's just buddies with Peter, and she's buddies with Miles. So, if she was affiliated, oh, that'd be amazing. I have no idea why Moon Knight's affiliated, so.
I was just about to ask you, I was like, you obviously know more about the Spider-Verse than I do. I haven't really paid attention to Spider-Verse since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. It was like the older comics. So I'm very not knowledgeable in the modern day Spider-Man. When somebody told me that there was a hulking Green Goblin and I saw a picture of it, I was like, what is this?
That was from like the Ultimate. I haven't actually read any of. I mostly know that because of Into the Spider-Verse. I've read a lot more of the modern stuff and haven't read as much of the older stuff and like looked more stuff up on Wikipedia. But no, I have no idea why Moon Knight's in there.
I'll have to research that one, because or if anybody knows, go ahead and let us know in the Discord, because I'm actually very curious of this one. I keep forgetting to ask, but now that it's out in the open, let's talk about this. Somebody let us know why Moon Knight is a Web Warrior.
Recalibration Matrix, help.
Yeah, somebody. Fury's finest, if you're out there, or even, you know, Bonnie, if you hear this. But let me know why Moon Knight is a Web Warrior, because I am desperate to know this question. But anyways, that's awesome. So let's go on to the next one. Santa has many elves helping him. Who is your affiliation's unsung hero that you cannot live without and he doesn't get enough credit? I think this one's a little hard for you just because there's only like so many that you can pick from. But
yeah, I think it's also tough because a lot of them I feel like get appropriate credit. But I'm going to go with Venom. Because despite the fact that he gets a lot of credit, I don't think he gets enough credit. I think Venom is one of the best four threats in the game. He's just so good. And his control is so strong. People are just scared to hit him so much of the time.
Yeah.
And like turning off defensive tech is so good. Like, I love Venom. Play Venom all the time. He's great.
Well, I also feel like there was a time period of the game. I don't know if you feel the same about that I do, but I feel like there was just a time period where he just disappeared from the scene.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
he
was totally.
Like, I never really quite understood that, because I always thought Venom was fun to play, and he's always been annoying. Like, there's some rosters I'm looking at, like, where I could put Venom in here, and he'd be fun.
Oh, yeah, he's got some great homes. I think he's really good in Convocation. Because he gets a lot of benefit out of their leadership and kind of brings things they want. I know Nate from the Taco Truck podcast has been having a lot of luck with him in Guardians. Mm-hmm. Venom's just good. Play Venom.
Just play him.
Except not if you're playing against Web Warriors. Then don't play that. You don't need to play that. That's fine. That's fine.
then they're set. They're set that way. I love Venom. I can't wait to see more like what they do. I'd love to see an Agent Venom. Yeah. I know Nate from the Gamers Guild wants to see an Agent Venom, but I bet they're probably waiting for MCU type of thing to happen with that.
Maybe. Or the game. Or they're waiting till they do a second Cosmic Wave. He'll be dual affiliated Guardians, Web Guardians. Warriors. Yeah.
I would love Agent Venom in the Guardians. That should have been one I said yesterday. But
Guardians have a lot to wish for. They've got my biggest wish list, but we're not talking about that now.
I feel like I'm doing yesterday's episode. All right, so last question here. Do you have any great memories playing Web Warriors that you care to talk about?
Sure. So the first one revolves around Venom, and that is it's happened a few times. But man, I can't remember who I was playing against, but Venom getting attacked, the attack spiking and giving me that magic 5 power I need, swinging back. Oh, I was playing against against Anthony. I don't know. I forget who it was, but they were playing Dr. Voodoo. Voodoo swung into him, spiked on me, gave me my 5 power, swung back with a We Are Venom, and left Voodoo on 1. After he had taken his second action, so that Voodoo's just sitting there waiting to be killed. And this was like round 2. So it's like, cool, thank you. You did all of my work for me. This is great.
Yeah.
Anytime Venom gets to do that, it's great. Anytime I win a game with like minimal attacks made is a great memory. The other day at the shop, I had a game where just running between D points and holding on to spider infected people and moving people around with web lines, like just not really needing to kill people, just feels good with that. It's like, it feels so thematic. And anytime something like that happens, it's just happy.
Yeah.
But
it's doing that annoying gameplay where it's like you're playing the game, but you're not. And then your opponent's super frustrated because they're not getting any power to do anything that they want to be doing. And
exactly.
Oh.
Yeah, I've got a bad memory for specifics. So I'm gonna go with those.
All right, so I have one question for you that I asked on one of the other ones, and people seem to really like it, and I kept forgetting to include it on the other ones that I did after I had seen it, and that is, what is your sales pitch for Web Warriors? Like, why would somebody play Web Warriors?
I think the easiest answer for that is, do you like Spider-Man? Of course you do. He's Spider-Man. And even though I never really play Peter Parker, they're all Spider-Man. So play them because you like Spider-Man. From a gameplay perspective, if you like hard control, if you want to just move people around and be fast and be defensive, you should play them. Something that I think doesn't get talked about a lot is that playing against them, even if you're getting your ass kicked by Web Warriors, often feels kind of fair. Because a lot of the time when Web Warriors are like solidly winning, it's still the score still looks really close, and like you're getting to beat up the Web Warriors, and like you're getting to feel like you're doing a lot of stuff, even though the Web Warriors player is sitting there going, oh wow, you're not doing anything that matters. Like they feel a lot more fun to get beat by than someone who's just going to like blow up your model and then you don't get to activate them.
Yeah, absolutely. I've had that happen almost every single Fighters game where it's like, I'm killing all of them, but I'm still losing. Yeah. How is this happening?
Yeah. So if you want to beat people and have those people not really be mad about it, play Web Warriors.
Yeah. Awesome. I like that. That's good. All right. So that's going to wrap us up. So if we're going to put a little bow on this present of Web Warriors, what are some closing thoughts you have for the listeners?
Web Warriors are just a lot of fun. They're rewarding. They can be kind of difficult to play super well, but they really reward you for putting in the hours with them, and can just feel like a well-oiled machine when you finally get all your positioning and power economy moving. So they're always fun to play.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you for stopping by the Danger Room and giving the people the Christmas gift of Web Warriors.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. This was a lot of fun.